Chapter 27 Past Lives. Question: What about past lives? Answer: I love this question because I believed in past lives for about 50 years, before encountering quantum physics and the truth of the human game model. Not only did I believe, but I had many detailed memories of a number of those past lives. But before we can talk about past lives, we have to talk about time. From the research in quantum physics, we know time does not exist in the field, where all experiences are created that make up the physical universe. Space and time are created as part of a hologram. Scientists would say space-time is a function of the hologram, and therefore time is not real in the same way the hologram is not real. In fact, as many others like Seth and Eckhart Tolle have said over and over again, the only thing that's real, or better, relevant, is the present moment. This not only applies to past lives, but the past in this present life as well, which should be self-evident when we see how someone can change their past by getting new information or changing their perceptions of what happened back then. Einstein said, "Reality is merely an illusion, albeit a very persistent one." And it's true that reality seems to have continuity as one moment blends into the next moment. But it's also possible to look at those moments as individual holograms coming quickly one after the other, like a movie consists of one individual frame and then another in rapid succession. Therefore, the persistence itself is illusory. It's even possible there actually is nothing except the present moment, and that everything we consider to be the past is created in each present moment hologram. Carl Prebram spent years trying to find the location of memory in the brain, and finally decided the brain itself was a hologram. So, what if memory really doesn't exist at all? What if our memory of the past is being created in the present moment hologram instead? What if, when we say someone is living in their past, the opposite is actually true, that their past is living in their present? So the past may be a story that is part of the present hologram, and we are free to rewrite the ending to that story at any time by changing our reactions and responses to the experience, letting go of the judgments, beliefs, opinions, and fears. This is clear and actually very necessary when you move into the second half of the human game. When the judgment is dropped, for example, of how bad your childhood was, and you gain appreciation and thankfulness for the perfection of those experiences in creating limitation in the first half, the past changes dramatically. What's actually happening is that the story in your present hologram about the past is changing. In essence, you are creating a new past in the present, since there really is no past per se. A good actor does this. If it's not part of the script itself, an actor will make up a past for their character, giving them a reason, the motivation, for any line or action they have in the movie. But that character's past is not real, and only exists in the present moment when the actor is acting, using it to give background for how they deliver their lines. Am I making myself clear? Since time is not real, all past memories could actually be nothing more than parts of the present time hologram which fill in the storyline of our total immersion movie. What we call our history, personal history, human history, even the history of our planet and the physical universe, could simply be one small storyline in the current Earth environment template downloaded to a player for its present time experience. L. Ron Hubbard, in another one of his genius moments, called these service facsimiles, service because they serve him, facsimiles because they are in mental image picture form. The service facsimile is therefore a picture containing an explanation of self-condition. End of quote. In other words, we may well be making up our past in the present time to explain our current condition in life. Believing in past lives was, at least for me, a very important part of that process. I could use a past life as a reason for my present time behavior, just as we use a dysfunctional childhood to explain a dysfunctional adult. Quick example. I had so-called memories of being a pharaoh in Egypt in the 14th century B.C. who was murdered by the priesthood when he tried to take away their power. This explained why, in this present life, I had done everything possible to get out of politics once I got elected, believing on some level that rising up the political ladder would eventually result in my death. But for me, past lives explained more than just the negative behavior in the present. I had very little sailing experience in this life, limited mainly to building and sailing a 12-foot sunfish in my teens, taking my wife for a ride on a Hobie Cat on our honeymoon, which was a bad idea, and skippering a 42-foot Morgan from Los Angeles to Catalina to scuba dive with friends. Then in 1994, I stepped onto the Kairos, an 80-foot wooden schooner, to be the cook for a year. But somehow I knew exactly what to do and how to sail her perfectly, even single-hand her, including how to tie all the standard sailing knots. Within a short time, I was replacing the captain when he went ashore for extended vacations, performing difficult anchoring maneuvers in pitch dark, turning the ship 180 degrees in a 100-foot harbor, and sailing her precisely for 3 days and nights on open ocean from the Canary Islands to Madeira. I cannot explain my behavior from anything I experienced in this lifetime. However, I had these memories of what I thought was a past life as a merchant marine, sailing back and forth from Boston to the Mediterranean in the early 1900s. There's no question in my mind the knowledge and expertise I had in that life was accessible to me in this life when I needed and wanted it. But if there is no past, and therefore no past lives, if we are making up our past in the present, how can I explain this behavior? How could I know how to sail such a ship with virtually no experience? There is another explanation, one that aligns nicely with quantum physics. Physicist Fred Alan Wolf wrote a book called Parallel Universes, The Search for Other Worlds. And there is a major theory within quantum physics called the Many Worlds Interpretation, or MWI, which the Wikipedia explains this way. Many Worlds claims to resolve all the paradoxes of quantum theory since every possible outcome to every event defines or exists in its own history, or world. In layman's terms, this means that there is a very large, perhaps infinite, number of universes, and that everything that could possibly happen in our universe, but doesn't, does happen in some other universe. Prior to many worlds, this universe had been viewed as a single world line. Many worlds rather views it as a many-branched tree where every possible branch of history is realized. End of quote. Fred Alan Wolf said, "What is a parallel universe? Like an everyday universe, it is a region of space and time containing matter, galaxies, stars, planets, and living beings. In other words, a parallel universe is similar and possibly even a duplicate of our own universe. Not only in a parallel universe must there be other human beings, but these may be human beings who are exact duplicates of ourselves, and who are connected to ourselves through mechanisms only explainable using quantum physics concepts. The possibility exists that parallel universes may be extremely close to us, perhaps only atomic dimensions away, but perhaps in a higher dimension of space, an extension into which physicists call superspace. Modern neuroscience, through the study of altered states of awareness, schizophrenia, and lucid dreaming, could be indications of the closeness of parallel worlds to our own. Unquote. In other words, there is speculation among very prominent and respected quantum physicists that other worlds might exist simultaneously with our world, and that we might have a connection to them. This opens the door to a fascinating theory about past lives. I talked in Chapter 26 about the possibility an infinite eye could have many players representing it in many different games, or even within one game at one time. What if the past lives we think we remember are not past at all, but happening now in a parallel universe? What if an infinite eye wanted to experience a number of different times and places in the human game and created separate players for those times and places? And what if we, as players in this space and time, had access to those other players in other spaces and times and could receive information about them and from them through the conduit of a mutual infinite eye? I understand now that my life as a merchant marine was not a past life at all, but a simultaneous life going on in a parallel universe, and that the merchant marine is a player just like me, but in a different time and space, and he and I share the same infinite eye. From my perspective, it seems like I was able to tap into his life via our common infinite eye and bring the information I needed through into mine. I have other examples as well from my own experience about the many worlds' interpretation of quantum physics. But first I will relate a story about Jane Roberts, who channeled the entity known as Seth. Apparently one day while Jane was in her trance and Seth was speaking, someone showed Seth a picture of Jane when she was about 12 years old, and asked if this was the Jane Roberts who was sitting in front of them at that time. Seth said no. It was a picture of the Jane Roberts who had gone on to become a nun. Seth explained that Jane had been torn about her future when she was young, and part of her wanted to follow a strict religious training. At the point of decision, one Jane went into another universe and became a nun, and the Jane that was in front of the group stayed in this universe, according to Seth. My own experience was when I had to make a decision to go into the Army and to Vietnam, or go to jail as a protester. I really wanted to go to jail, to stand on my principles, and register my opposition to the war. But my fiancé and my mother weren't too keen on the idea, and I wound up volunteering to become a physician's assistant in the Army to make sure I never had to kill anyone. I now am certain there is a Stephen Davis in another universe who went to jail instead, living out his life based on that decision. Once I made one choice, the other choice played out in another world. And why not? The whole point of the human game is for an infinite eye to have as many experiences as possible of what it feels like to be limited in power and joy and wisdom and abundance and love. Why shouldn't an infinite eye have many players in the game at one time? Why shouldn't an infinite eye explore all the various options that arise in the course of the game for any particular player in many different simultaneous parallel worlds? The many worlds interpretation basically says all possibilities occur in one universe or another, and Seth says, especially when faced with a life-changing decision, both alternatives continue in parallel universes. But perhaps the most interesting part of this is the possibility of communication between the various players. As we progress inside the cocoon and restore conscious communication with our infinite eye, will we have greater access to all the players who share our infinite eye by leaving behind the judgments and beliefs that currently block that communication? It's no wonder access was limited during the first half of the human game, but now that we're heading away from limitation, who knows what's possible? The bottom line is that it's very likely your infinite eye has many players in many universes, including many players in the human game at many different times and places, and that what we have been calling past lives are actually present lives occurring simultaneously. This, of course, would completely change the idea of past lives being some kind of progression of identities from which we are supposed to learn lessons, which naturally brings up the question of karma. There is an interesting movie you might want to watch called Sliding Doors with Gwyneth Paltrow, produced in 1998.